Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enid DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. My name is Melissa. I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I'm a licensed professional counselor associate. And most important, I'm a child of God. We just want to thank God right now. Just want to thank God for everything. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for continuing to bless us. Thank you for continuing to keep us. Thank you for continuing to protect us. Thank you for your continued watchfulness over us in these times. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go this day, we just pray that you continue to allow us to listen and learn, to gain wisdom, knowledge, and to be instructed from every experience, every situation, every aspect of life that is presented to us. Heavenly Father, we just want to continue to walk in the path that you have for us and continue to fulfill our purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. This show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services. I posted the link to the website, trinitycounselingcharlotte.com. I need to do a better job about having a website for Trinity Counseling Services in Burlington, in that they are the same business run by the same person, but they offer different aspects of counseling. One, my home base, which is not where I live, but where I started, which was in Charlotte. There's a lot of things that are there. And then the one that is in Burlington is morphing into a more individualized counseling type setting. So you are welcome to look at the website. Have any questions, don't hesitate to email melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. You also can call 704-333-2446 or 336-675-0075. Those are the numbers associated. And if you want to call in to this program, it's 347-945-5924. We are on the line. If you want to call in and ask any questions about the study, we have been looking at the different scriptures as far as war goes, and we will continue that study. Like I said, you are welcome to call in, 347-945-5924. It is interesting to see that there are listeners, and I appreciate that. And I do hope to interact with you at some point. Scriptures about war. Ordinarily, I am traveling for work. But this morning I am home in preparation for training, so this is going to be different. It's probably going to be much safer. Dropped my kids off, got them going. I always speak about them because they are blessings to me. If you have read part of my story, have ever heard me to speak about that, I back in 2004, 2006. Had a couple of miscarriages, and I don't say that lightly, but after the first one, I was like, okay, that just happened. I had carried for nearly 12 weeks, and I felt the movement of the baby. I would lay in the bed and put my hand on my stomach, and I felt the movement, and I also felt when the child passed away. And then the second one was much quicker, but I actually found a picture where you take the picture of the baby and you see the fetus and all, and I had nicknamed the baby Horatio. I was a fan of CSI Miami at that time. It was not going to be the baby's name, but baby Horatio ended. I didn't know the sex of the baby, and then when I lost the baby. Curiously enough, one of the scriptures for war, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:8, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And then I actually wrote part of that just to kind of make myself to be okay with having lost the baby. And I can remember back then, it was in, I can't remember the month, it's written on the picture, but I can remember talking to, you know, some of my best girlfriends of whom I've been close to and saying, you know, how upset I was when I lost the baby. And their response was, oh, well, you'll have a, you know, you can always have another one. I was hurt because I had committed to that child even before it was born. I knew the life that was inside of me. And I was a little hurt because it was kind of flipped in how they said that. And I went into a period of depression, you know, thinking it was something I did. Who knows? You know, when you have those miscarriages, I think, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's wife, she had a miscarriage, and now she's gone on this national forum, you know, talking about miscarriages as if there weren't other women that have had it, but it's given opportunity. And she said, you know, she's made some comments about how it felt, as has Kim Kardashian and some people that we see on television. But, you know, as an individual who has had, I've had a lot of experiences that have been not hard, and as have a lot of people. So I'm not making singling myself out by any means. But when you know, you have a miscarriage, you lose a life, you know, you need the support of, you know, people to understand, you know, kind of where you're coming from. And the people that were closest to me at that time were not there. And the only person or entity that I had to turn to was God. I had to turn to God, pray to God. And it was interesting that I carried and I've got pictures of when I was pregnant before I lost the baby. We had had some events on the job, and it was interesting that that particular time when I was carrying, I had applied for a position on my job at Mecklenburg County Work Release and Restitution Center, and I had been applying for a lot of jobs. I'm just speaking personally until this all makes sense here in a minute, but I had applied for a job, another position on my job. I had been on the job for some years, and I felt fully capable of the position that I was applying for, some of which I had been hired for, and then I was denied. Well, I applied for one position and had gotten an interview, and I had lost the baby about a day or so before the actual interview, but the hospital did not schedule the procedure until the day of the interview. And when they scheduled the procedure, I said, okay, I have this interview. And I'm recalling this information because there's a viral video online right now where there's a lady and she's in labor and her contractions are 3 minutes apart, and she's in a program, and she's trying to finish her online exam because she has to. You know, when you're in college, you get an exam time, and now in this age, you have online. But at the age when I was in college, you didn't have that. When I did my bachelor's, you didn't have the online. If your exam was Monday at 12 o'clock, then that's where you needed to be, and that exam time was cut out for 4 hours or something like that. So, and you get the full 4 hours in order to take the exam. And so she's in this picture and she's taking the exam. People are like, oh, yeah, that's determination. I'm like, yeah, women have that ability to do things. I mean, we carry children and we give birth to them. And they say that the physics and all of the power that is behind just having a birth and coming out through the canal and all the other stuff is so, so powerful, you know. But without God, I don't know how we would do it. But with God, we make it to be happening. We make it happen. But anyway, she's in this picture. But back to, So I had this interview, and as part of the interview process, you go through the verbal part of it. You ask you all the questions. You know, why do you feel that you would be fully capable of this position? And you go in an interview believing that you actually have a chance to get this position, because otherwise you would not have applied for it. Anyhow, so you get the interview, do the interview. Sitting in the interview, and at the time that I'm in the interview, I'm having what are contractions pushing down on my stomach, and I'm breathing through them. I'm not trying to do any kind of weird Lamaze-type breaths, but I don't know that they even noticed it, and how I know they didn't notice it, and I'll get to that point. But anywho, so after the part of the interview, they give you this assignment, and you're supposed to take the assignment and go write an answer and submit it. And then they review it, and then they determine whether or not you get the job. Well, gratefully, being the person that I am, you always should be friendly with people. Because you never know. It says you may entertain. The Bible says you may entertain angels. So you never know who you may encounter. So, you know, people that are, even people that kind of grate you, you still kind of got to find something, some decent aspect of them that you can relate to, and just because you don't know who that person is. So the administrative person, Karen and Carmen, who was the work release person, was in an area. And so when I finished the interview, I went upstairs, and my mom came along with me, and I told her, I said, "Well, Mom, I am going upstairs. I'm not going to be able to write this. I'm hurting really bad. My only recourse is I can type it. And I type faster than I write. And now I think I can type it, and I can get it submitted, and we can make our way to the hospital." Because my mother came down to take me to the hospital. And she asked me before I went in the interview. My mother's always been this way. She says, "Are you sure you want to go through this interview?" "Yeah, I'm sure. Whether I get the job or not, who knows? But I'm sure." So I go, I let them know what's going on. I just tell people the truth about my situation. I was like, "Look, I'm hurting really bad. I'm losing my child. I'm on my way to the hospital. I'm trying to finish this interview. Let me type this. Could you please turn it in for me?" No sooner than I type the last period to the last sentence of a page of an answer, immediately I had to go to the hospital because the procedure was done. I mean, might as well say. And that required a lot of concentration. It required a lot of determination. It required a lot of strategy. It required having individuals in places. And as with war, when the enemy has a strategy to kill us, to steal, kill, and destroy us. And so we know that is what the mission is, steal, kill, and destroy. Simple enough. And it doesn't really matter about the motivation. It doesn't really matter about the thoughts. It doesn't really matter about the feeling. We know what the mission is. There are things that are going on right now, and people are saying, "Well, you know, if you're watching what is happening, we are being programmed through the media, programmed through, social media, the regular media, communication, newspapers, magazines, all about what's going on, and is it evoking fear? Because if you're fearful and you move in one direction and you believe you're moving away from a target, technically you're moving inside of the target because you have moved in fear. And part of the art of war is you want to move the line into the target. So if you move with fear, and if they already know that your emotional motivation, if the enemy already knows the emotional motivation is in moving in fear, then he pretty much knows where you'll go. You'll go away from whatever direction you were going in. So where is the enemy going to be? He's going to be there. So rather than to move in fear, one of the books that I'm reading that I began to write about, I post on LinkedIn under my name, Alyssa Enoch-DeBerry, is Wallace Waddell's The Science of Getting Rich. And he speaks about God and how God created the heavens and the earth and all that's within. And before he created, there was formless. It was no form. But when God desired to create the heavens and the earth, he put a thought into it. And the first principle today, it says, in your thinking. So sometimes we act out of fear simply because we are not thinking about the strategy that the enemy is undertaken. We are not thinking that, we're not even thinking that there is a strategy. We're just thinking we're just moving. And it says, you know, you don't move without a thought behind the movement. And so it says once you rein in your thoughts. And so it says the first thing is just having faith that just what you're seeing, if you are moving with what you see, then that's not hard. There's no effort to doing that. But if you move without seeing, then there's more effort in that. You're moving. It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you move by what you see and you move by what you think, then you may be moving yourself into a position of harm. And it says just your first thing is to have faith. Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And as I've been studying fruits of the Spirit and other things in the Bible that I believe have been helpful, I've been in the field of substance abuse for as long as I've been, I've heard a lot of individuals' opinions about their faith, about and their spirituality, about religion. You know, we want to rule out religion. Religion is has too many traditions, has too many things that we're required to do, whatever. And I just try to keep it real simple as I'm listening, because I'm listening for what an individual's thoughts are. And from those thoughts, then it gives me indication of how they'll feel, and then what they'll do. My thought is, in addiction creates some fears. You're fearful of not being a part of the group, fearful of not fitting in, or fearful of just life on life's terms. And so you experiment with drugs and alcohol, not knowing that is actually part of the strategy to just move you into the line of the target. Because as soon as you start experimentation with any kind of drugs and alcohol, speaking personally, but professionally as well, as soon as you move yourself into the line of the target, then the enemy already knows part of the strategy is, I'm going to steal now from you, I'm going to attempt to destroy you, and I'm going to kill you. And the plan in an addiction is part of the whole process, but the stealing is you go from experimentation, which is all fun and games, to stealing the joy out of even drinking, or stealing the joy out of because you have, you know, yesterday, this is so random, but yesterday we were at a training, and I was with a table, and they had these cookies, and anybody that knows Melissa knows that I love sweets, and I have to try to stay working out, try to stay walking, or try to stay managing my diet, trying to stay at a certain level. Have already been told physically, if I keep it up, I'm going to be all out diabetic, going to need medicine. Just worse than my clients in that regard. Not even stubbornness, just foolishness. Because I love sweets, love everything about them, and I especially love cookies, cakes, pies that have peanuts or any kind of peanuts in them. I love that. I have to look that up, see what that is. If I crave peanuts, it must be something to that. Just like if you crave sweets, it must be something to that. But now I digress. So they got these cookies, and oh my God, they got pecans in them. I don't know how many I ate. I want to say five. I think I ate a half dozen before I knew it. And then I started raving about them and sharing and trying to put people on. And I'm saying that because when you first start drinking, like you may have seen some family members drinking, had your own opinions. As children, you might see, you know, grown-ups doing it, and they look so goofy. And that's not even a thing, especially because you're looking at them like, y'all so old, and that's just ridiculous. But when you get old, when you get a little older, then you start having, you know, some experiences. You might be around some people, and let's just say you're with some of your older siblings or older family members, and say they're drinking, and oh, they're so silly, oh, it's so funny, oh, we did some really crazy stuff, oh, we just, and so you do it, and you're thinking, oh man, that is the bag, that was so fun, that was so crazy, you remember all of that until the next day you're hungover, your head's hurting, head's splitting, you're hanging over the toilet seat, all kinds, and you're doing all of this stuff, and you're just saying to yourself, oh God, what just happened? And then it stops being fun. And then as you graduate in youth, then it's really not fun at all, because the initial, just like with that cookie, I imagine if I went and had that cookie today, it would so not be the same as it was yesterday. And as with drinking, same thing with marijuana. Even cocaine, I read about a young man this morning, you know, with heroin. You know, it puts you in a comfortable place. That was his story. But it's okay until it's not okay, until, you know, you have the hangovers and the negative consequences. But it says that if you have a positive consequence, you'll do it again. But if you have a negative consequence, then quite naturally you won't. And so the enemy knows that too. So when you experiment initially with drugs and alcohol, anything else, you know, it's a beautiful experience most times. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't do it again. But if it was a horrible experience, then you won't do it again. And then he's like, doggone it, then I need to try something else. And then it'll be something else on down the road. And that's why you have to, in your mind, that what it is you see, it's not what it is. What you see is not what it is. And that same thing goes just like in the media. What you see is certainly not what it is. The enemy has a strategy. Again, it's laid out to steal, kill, and destroy. Very simple. So with faith, faith by definition is belief, trust, confidence, conviction in regard to religion. It is a system of religious beliefs. That's when you have a faith. Are you a Muslim? Are you a Buddhist? Are you a Jewish person? Are you a Christian? A strict adherence to duty and promises, word or honor, pledge. But we'll go back to belief, trust, confidence, conviction. So then I wanted to look up what belief is. That means you accept. So in your mind, whatever you think, you accept. You accept that, and you stay with that. Credence, something that gives credence, is truthfulness. What is the truth? There are many, 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 many organizations, many, 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 many things in the media, many people that want to remove the belief in the Bible. Plain and simple. It says it is written by man. How did God do that? Whatever. If that's a Christian's truth. There's so many different Bibles. You got the King James Version. You got the New International Version. You got all of these different versions. So if you got all these different versions, why is it this one is the right one? I've got a Catholic Bible, and it's got books in it I had never heard of before, but I don't know that makes it no less true. But true. So something that gives credence. So if the enemy can evoke fear or you know, knowledge, say, well, I'm giving you knowledge. You know, there's a thing on the internet talking about the different Statue of Liberties, and then other individuals come back and say, no, that's not the truth. Or I had a lady that did not tip a lady because she thought she had overstepped her boundaries flirting with her husband. And so the lady, the waitress wrote her opinion, and then the other lady wrote hers. So you don't know what the truth is, but if it lends credence. And so as Christians or as individuals, you want to have, whether it be the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or whatever it is that you read, that is the truth. And then you just kind of work within that framework. And if you find you develop that foundation, because the enemy's goal, the strategy is to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can steal from your mind, if he can destroy your mind, he's going to kill your mind by creating doubt. So if that is your foundation, right or wrong, and if it allows you to live a life that's less confusing, then that's probably the way to stay. So that gives credit, which is a reliance on testimony. So you read the Bible, there's testimonies of individuals in it telling you about war, telling you about how they got over, telling you about what God did. You don't believe that, then you have your own testimony. Part of Trinity, part of the process, part of the things that I encourage my clients to do is to write your own story. Write your own testimony. Perhaps I need to change the language, because when I say story, people are like, oh, I don't got a story. When you say testimony, well, I'm not in church. So I've got to find a language in the world that people will adhere to that will say, well, I need to write this down, because you know what? It is important, because it's reputed integrity. If you start off in one situation and you end up, you make it through it, and you don't die, you don't end on the other side, well, that's reputed integrity. You are your own word. You ain't got to ask, you know, ain't got to. You don't have to ask anyone. You don't have to depend on anyone. You don't have to rely on anyone else's words. You rely simply on your own. And so in war, it says, like, say, when you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not alarmed. But this must take place, but the end is not yet. So in your thoughts, you're going to hear things. It's going to say, I see. You know, stand therefore, Ephesians, I'm sorry, not the original one was Matthew 24:6. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's good. 6:14, Ephesians. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. Part of the armor is the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness. Know who you are. And that helps you with your thoughts. Here's a thought. It says Matthew 10:36, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoa. In your own house, you're going to have enemies. It also says in Jude, that was Matthew 10:36. So your thought is, you're thinking that the people close to you should be all right, but it may be your own household. In Jude 1:19, it says, it is these who causes divisions, worldly people devoid of the spirit. In your own house. Let's see. We have 90 seconds more. Let's see if we can find. Here's a thought. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. That's one. We are more than conquerors. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There are some thoughts there in those scriptures that should help. That would help us to frame our thinking. And to give us assurance, to give us the confidence, to give us certainty, to know with conviction, but God, for the one that you know for yourself, that's the third, you know, made a conscious decision, turn your will and life over to the care of God as you understood him, not as anybody else. Those are your thoughts. Again, this is Melissa. This is our study, Scriptures About War. We're going to continue this. You can talk. You can see us on talk with us on Saturday, 8 to 8:15. Welcome to call, email melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. Saturday morning, 8 to 8:15 on our weekend edition wrap up. On next Thursday, 8 to 8:30. God, we just thank you right now for everything that you continue to do in our lives. We just pray that you continue to go with us, go before us, and protect us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless.